Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan. Today is the Sunday that we call Quinquagesima, pronounce it however you want to. It essentially means that this is the Sunday that falls within the period of about 50 days. That's the name Quinquagesima, 50 days before Easter. So this is the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. This is the last Sunday in our preparatory season for Lent. So we're drawing very near. In fact, in our gospel, we have the story of Jesus telling his disciples that we're about to head to Jerusalem because we as a church are about to head to Jerusalem with Christ in order to follow him through his persecution into his crucifixion and out the other side in his glorious resurrection. In the Eastern tradition, today is called Forgiveness Sunday. After the Divine Liturgy today, the Eastern tradition has what's called its Forgiveness Vespers. It's when everyone in the church at Vespers turns to everyone and asks forgiveness from everyone in the church. Like in the Gospel, Jesus telling us to, before you take your gift and offer it to God, make sure you go to your brother and have nothing against him. So on this day, in the Eastern tradition, the theme of this day is the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. I'm going to read just a quick portion of that expulsion. This comes from Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned against God, after they had disobeyed the one commandment that God had given them, they listened to the liar, the serpent, and they had done the one thing that they knew they weren't supposed to do. God finds them, he confronts them about what they'd done, and then he tells them not what he's going to do to them because of their sin, but he tells them what's going to happen to them because of their sin. This is a description of what happens to the human being when he or she cuts him or herself off from their creator. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This is simply a description by God of what we are made out of. We're made out of dust. And without the sustaining power and dependence of the life of God in us, that's exactly what we turn back into, dust. On Ash Wednesday, the blessing of the ashes acknowledges this, and we ask God when we bless the ashes, O God, who wouldst not the death of a sinner, but rather that he should repent, mercifully look upon the frailty of our mortal nature, of our reality of dust, and of thy goodness vouchsafe to bless these ashes, which we purpose to have set on our heads for the increase of humility, that is to remind us of what we are, and the meriting of pardon, that we, acknowledging that we are but ashes, and that by reason of our vileness unto dust we shall return, may through thy mercy be found meet to receive forgiveness for all our sins, and the rewards which thou hast promised to them that are penitent, through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning we sing that by fruit the ancient foe's device, that is, a mere piece of fruit that the devil used, drove Adam forth from paradise. But then we also sang, Christ, by the cross of shame and pain, brought back the dying thief again. When in thy kingdom, Lord, said he, thou shalt return, remember me. These words are appropriate as we approach the beginning of Lent. In the Eastern tradition, today begins Lent with Forgiveness Vespers, describing Adam and Eve being expelled from paradise, and yet everyone in the church asking forgiveness and seeking repentance of their sins. On Ash Wednesday, the Western tradition does the exact same thing. We call the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday Shrove Tuesday, Shrove simply meaning forgiven. We do the exact same thing on Shrove Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. We ask forgiveness of all of our brothers and sisters, and we ask repentance of the priest if we're able, to make sure that we are shriven, that we're forgiven as we enter into the Lenten season. Why do we do this? We do this so that we can follow Christ into our own healing. The blind man in the gospel today, crying out, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, Son of David, Son of God, have mercy on me." This was his only hope of regaining his sight. Our only hope of regaining our life, our spiritual sight, is to cry out to God, "Lord, have mercy," to turn to our brothers and sisters and ask forgiveness, to come before the priest and make our confession and be made right with the church, the whole community of Christ, the body of Christ, to cry out, "Lord, have mercy," and ask Christ's forgiveness on us so that we may regain our sight, so that, just like the blind man in the gospel, what did he do as soon as he regained his sight? He got up and followed Jesus into Jerusalem. That's exactly what the point of Forgiveness Sunday and Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday is for. It's so that we may regain our sight, so that when we begin our Lenten journey, walking with Christ all the way to the cross, we may see where we're going. We can perceive our Savior in front of us, and we can follow him rightly to the cross, which is his instrument of redemption for us. It was a tree, it was the fruit of a tree that expelled us from paradise, that cut us off from full communion with God, and it was the fruit of a new tree, the tree of the cross, the fruit being Christ himself and his blood, his body and blood, that gains us admittance back to paradise. It was on the tree that Jesus told the dying thief, "Today you will truly be with me in paradise." Those are the words that we seek from Christ as we regain our sight here at the beginning of the season in order to follow him. We look for him to tell us, "Today truly you will be with me in paradise." That's our goal. Not because paradise is the place we want to be, but because paradise is the description of being with Christ, of being in full communion with God. That's our end goal, not to go to heaven when we die. Heaven is incidental. Heaven is just the name of communion with God. Our goal, our entire purpose in life, is union with Christ. It's full communion. It's experiencing God in his pureness and his goodness. It's our very life being plugged into God so that we are sustained through him. It's not turning to anything else, like the fruit of a tree or the promise of a new career or whatever it might be. Nothing in this world is going to sustain our life. This world is meant for one thing alone, to teach us how to return to paradise, to teach us how to depend on God for our life and our existence. The way that we do that is through asking others for forgiveness, repenting of our sins, asking for our sight to be restored, and gaining what St. Paul calls love. In the epistle today, St. Paul says, "Brethren, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I'm just making noise. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is long-suffering and is kind. Love doesn't envy anything. Love doesn't vaunt itself over anything. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unseemly. It doesn't seek anything for itself. It's not easily provoked. And it doesn't think anything evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. And it hopes and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will eventually vanish. For we know now in part, and we prophesy now in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Just like when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, a smudgy mirror. But then we will know the reality, Christ, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall, even as I am known, I shall know. And now these things make sure that you keep: love, hope, and faith. But of all these things, the greatest of these by far is love. Love is what resists the temptation of the fruit in the garden. Love is what drove Christ to rescue us from our curse. Love is the only way that we can get up and follow Christ all the way to the cross. And it's love that compels us to ask forgiveness of those who we've sinned against. So as we begin the Lenten season, these three things make sure that you keep: faith in God, that He will do what He has promised to do for us; hope in the things that He has promised. In other words, keep those before your mind and your heart so that they continue to excite and drive you. And love, the thing that animates all that you do. But of all these things, the greatest by far is love. Let us, brothers and sisters, make sure that we have love as we begin this Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.